person locha. The definition of tainis is not eating. Not eating is not a positive thing; it's a negative thing. Same thing with malacha. So how could you have an asay? So he said that it would, if a person, for instance, really by nature wouldn't eat, so then there wouldn't be anything positive about tainis. It would just be he didn't do a certain action on that day. There's nothing positive about it. You see, if a person did not, for instance, open a window on a certain day. So you say, I mean, would be any positive concept about such a day? Couldn't be, because he just failed to do an action. But if it's something which a person always does, constantly involved with, then the abstention has a positive concept. It then has a positive, it's a positive idea to it. There's an idea of abstention, because every moment is one in which by nature he should be involved in something else, and now he's abstaining. So the abstention itself is a positive thing. You see? Do you understand what I mean? So that's why, same thing with malacha. That's why it says, Sheshes yomim tavay, v'yemeshri tishbay. It doesn't mean that you have to work 6 days. But it means if a person's nature was not to work 6 days, there would not be any concept of shrisim malacha on Shabbos. See, shrisim malacha stems from the fact that his nature is to do these 39 malachas. See? So then there's a concept of shrisim, of abstention. But if his nature was not such that he worked 6 days out of the week, there wouldn't be any Shabbos. Because the concept of the assay of Shabbos couldn't possibly exist. The assay of Shabbos is dependent upon the fact that man by nature does work all the time. Usually he does. Unless something impedes him, which is an abstention. Then abstention has a positive connotation. You see? Yes. A person eats on Erev Yom Kippur. So my love of Kilu. Yeah, Kilu Tzom Tisha V'Asara. As if he fasted both days, Erev Yom Kippur and Yom Kippur itself. Question is, why is that so? What's it got to do with it? He says, if you eat on Erev Yom Kippur, it's just like you fasted on Erev Yom Kippur. Also, it sounds crazy. What are you eating? Is like fasting. Doesn't make any sense. See? How could it be? So because it says may erev ad erev tishpesu shavatchem, may erev ad erev b'sishol lachayrish ba'erev b'sishol lachayrish ba'erev. So the Torah says in the ninth. So the Gemara says that if you eat on this ninth day, you eat erev and kippur just like you fasted on Yom Kippur. What's the answer? The answer is basically what we're saying. You see, the concept of tainus of fasting is only a positive thing because it's your nature to eat. It's in contrast to your ordinary activity. So if the ordinary activity preceding the fast is an activity of eating, so then the cessation, the abstention, is greater. You see? So the abstention is increased by the fact that the eating process has been going on for the last day before. It's a demonstration of the abstention. So that's why it's as if you fasted 2 days. What it means is that the eating is a kiyum in the fasting. The eating qualifies the fasting. You see? Because since you eat a lot right before, so the contrast between the day before, it gives a greater contrast to the day before Yom Kippur and Yom Kippur itself. Of course, there's a cessation, a greater cessation. Whatever you're doing before and you stop, the more you're doing, the greater the cessation. That's why you're supposed to eat Yom Kippur.
Yeah.
It works the same way with malacha, but there is no halacha like that. So you have to go by the halachic system. Why the Torah wanted to create a greater recognize a personal activity over here with a personal cessation, rather than to be universal. So you have to know the terms the Torah works out. By Yom Kippur, the Torah worked it out in personal terms, individual terms. Mm-hmm. On Shabbos, there's no such thing. If a person will start to work a lot and try to work a lot out of Shabbos to make a greater Shabbos, it'd be ridiculous. There's no such Torah doesn't recognize it.
What?
Aristotle had the same idea. Aristotle says there's a difference between a bat being blind and a person being blind. See, a bat, strictly speaking, is not blind. A bat is sightless, doesn't have any sight. See? A person can be blind. What's the difference? A bat doesn't have any sight. Because it's not his nature to see. It's not his nature. So you can't say he's blind. Blind means someone whose nature it is to see, and he's deprived of a certain faculty. It's a positive state, you see. So that's why Aristotle says we have to differentiate conceptually between these two things. That differentiation that he made, conceptual differentiation, is found in the same thing in Shvi'is and Shabbos, and the same thing on Tainus, the same concept. So therefore the los aseh refers to the activity. The aseh refers to the state of privation which results. That state, of the state is a positive state of privation. Practically, there's a difference. See the difference practically. Yeah, practically, the difference would be if a person ate on Yom Kippur. Right? He broke, so that's it. He can't have an aseh anymore. Is he allowed to eat? Not allowed to eat. Let's say today, if a person forgot and got up in the morning and had a cup of coffee, would they be allowed to eat the rest of the day? No. It's midrabbanan, it's called tikrabbanan kandaraisa. So therefore, you have to continue to fast because it is an isra, chilush siya. It's a separate law. Midrabbanan, of course, today's midrabbanan, Yom Kippur's midrabbanan. You see, the concept is you need a positive force to hold back the nature from its nature, which is to eat. The Torah's delineation of Yom Kippur, right? What would you say is lacking? Yeah, tshuva. Tshuva is not even one of the mitzvahs of Yom Kippur. Interesting thing. Yom Kippur really, if you just look at the format of the mitzvahs, Yom Kippur is a very passive day. Very passive day. But the question is, I mean, the whole form of Yom Kippur that we have today, it seems to be totally different than what the form of the Yom Kippur is from the Torah, four mitzvahs. You don't eat and you don't do malacha, and that's it. I mean, if a person said, I don't watch television, so he would have a wonderful Yom Kippur. So, tshuva. But tshuva isn't one of the mitzvahs of Yom Kippur. It's a funny thing. The possibility was presented that really tshuva is a separate thing. Tshuva is a separate mitzvah. It has nothing to do with Yom Kippur. It's a mitzvah all year round. Right? Basically, what you're telling me is that essentially Yom Kippur has nothing to do with tshuva. Essentially. That's right. That is no special. The Rambam brings the whole the idea of tshuva is brought in Hilchos Tshuva. He mentions Yom Kippur, but in Hilchos Shvi'is also there's no mention at all of tshuva and kapara. The Rambam mentions a few places in Hilchos Tshuva. He says, "Va'atzma shel yom kippur mechapar l'shavim shenema ki v'yom hazeh yechapar lechem." You see. Then he mentions in the Perek Beis Halacha Vav, Af pisha tshuva v'atzaki yafa lo elam barsara yom shebein rashan yom kippurim hi yafa b'yesa, miskebalasi b'yesa, miskebalasi miyad, shenem adir shashem b'matzai. Bamed v'amurim b'yachet, aval tzibur kol zman shesum tshuva heim nenem. Now, the Halacha Zayin, yom kippurim uzman tshuva l'chol yachid l'rabim, v'u keitz mechilo slich l'Yisrael, l'fika chayav makar lases tshuva ולזוודס ביום הכיפורם ומצווה סביד יום הכיפורם שיסחו מערב היום קודם שיוכל כראי. Then Ram goes through the format, you see. So you see, it's an interesting thing that the halacha of Yom Kippur really comes under what? Really come the halacha of tshuva and Yom Kippur really comes under the mitzvah saseh, a different mitzvah saseh, the mitzvah saseh of tshuva, the mitzvah saseh of tshuva. Right? Okay, so what is the format? You see, the Yom Kippur, the reason why there's, why is there no mitzvah to do tshuva on Yom Kippur? But rather, Yom Kippur comes under Hilchus tshuva in the Rambam. Yom Kippur comes under Hilchus tshuva. What does it show? What does it demonstrate? It shows, you see, if there would be a separate mitzvah of tshuva on Yom Kippur, it would mean that Yom Kippur is a machayev in tshuva. The truth of the matter is, it's just the opposite. That the chi of tshuva is a machayev in Yom Kippur. See, tshuva is a machayev in Yom Kippur. That's what it is. So the reason why tshuva is machayev in Yom Kippur, Yom Kippur comes under tshuva. So the reason why the tshuva is not mentioned in the Hilchos Shvi'is Asar is because what is machayev in tshuva It's not that Yom Kippur is Machayev and Tshuva. But on the contrary, Tshuva is Machayev, the Chi of Tshuva is Machayev in Yom Kippur. Do you know what I mean? So you can't subsume it under Yom Kippur, because Yom Kippur has to, the essence of Yom Kippur is subsumed under Tshuva, really. You know what I mean? That's the format. But really, the very essence of Yom Kippurim is definitely intricately bound with Tshuva and with Kapara, because the pasuk says, "Kivayemazel." If you look at the pasuk, it seems pretty obvious in the pesukim. Kivayemazel yichapar lechem v'tasnof neder shem lekechem kichol nefesh asher l'suna. So you see that, you know, that the idea of Kapara is inherent. Yom Kippurim, Kapara, Kapara slichem mechilat Tshuva, Kapara and Tshuva. So Tshuva is tied into the Yom, but the Yom is not a Machayev in Tshuva. Yom is Machayev. I mean, of course the Yom is Machayev in Tshuva. Rambam says Lefika Chakocha Yav Moshava, but the essential Machayev, the Yom is Machayev in Tshuva because there's a Chi of Tshuva. There's a general Chi of Tshuva. The real Machayev, the reason Yom Kippurim is a means of bringing about the kiyum mitzvah of the kiyum mitzvah of tshuva. Ram says in halacha perek beis halacha zayin yema kippurim husman tshuva l'chol yachad l'rabim v'hu keitz mechilo slichi l'israel l'fika chayav makor lases tshuva l'svadis b'yema kippurim. Why? So it's keitz mechilo slichi l'israel. Why am I chayav? Where's Ram get this from? In Ram and perek aleph halacha aleph. So he brings down that a person has to do tshuva. He brings down a vidvizeh mitzvah say. Vezevek reshavid. He brings down. Ono Hashem, achatasi avisi pshat lefenecha vasisi kach vekach. Harei nichamti boshti b'masai lo'olo mei nechoez l'dover zeh. Fine. Vezevek reshavid. That's the main vidvizeh. Then he says, v'chol amar b'lesvadeis amarech b'inyin zeh reze meshubach. V'chein balei chatois v'ashomais b'eis shemeviyin karbonei seim al shigagosan. Oyal zedainon. Ein miskaper lehem b'karbonu machiyasu tshuva. Alright, what is Ram saying over there? What do you mean, Amos? What does Ram say, Amos Kapra Lamba Karbonamachi Yasashuva? He should say, V'chein Balech Hatois Vashamais, Afapishim Evian Karbonais Seim, Chayavim Lesvadis. You see? Ram says, everybody's Chayavim Shuva. He's just talking about the Chiyav. He talks about the Chiyav of what you have to do in Perek Aleph. What you have to do to be for Shuva. What? He should have said, instead of saying, he says, Balech HaTois V'Hashemes, person who brings Karbonos, he says they will not be miskaper with their carbon unless they do Vidui first, the Rambam says. The Rambam was talking about the Chiv of Tshuva. Kol Mitzvah Shebetere Ben Aseh Ben Lo Saseh Imov Adam Malachas Mehem. He says, Kishi Yischayev L'Svadis L'Fnei Akel, Yischayev to do Tshuva Mimisvada. Okay? So, there's a Chiv of Tshuva. Why does the Rambam say that the Balei Chatois and the Hashamois, that the Balei Chatois and the Hashamois, that Aim is Kapralem b'Kabbalah Machi Yasachuva? The Rambam should say, not Aim is Kapralem, Afa Pishavia Karban Chayev B'Tshuva. What do you mean Aim is Kapralem? What? Right? You see the question? Aim is Kapralem is a funny Lashon. I mean, so who cares about, we're not talking about the Kapara now. Well, what's the answer? Apparently, you see from the Rambam that the Chiyuv is not Tshuva. Tshuva is a Chiyuv, but the Chiyuv is to bring about Kapara. That's the Chiyuv. The Chiyuv Tshuva is really to bring about a state of Kapara. You see? That's why the Rambam says, now we can understand what the Rambam means, where he says, Afbish, Yannick Purim was man Tshuva Lakoil, Liyachid al Rabim. V'hu keitz mechilo slicha liYisrael. L'fika chayovim akol lases tshuva l'svadis b'yom kippur. Why? Because the chiyuv is to bring about kapara. That's the chiyuv. The chiyuv on the person is to bring about a state of kapara. Since the chiyuv is to bring about a state of kapara, so the zman that is the last moment of slicha mechila is Machayev a person, because it's the last moment, is Machayev a person in tshuva. You see? It's not just a chiyuv to do tshuva, it's a chiyuv to bring about kapara. You see? So it comes out, at any rate, from what we said, it comes out like this. That, just to summarize, it comes out that really the mitzvahs hayim, the mitzvahs hayim of tainus, are strictly mitzvahs that are relegated to the yom. You see, but the essence of that, but the essence of the yom, the essence of the yom really comes under what? Comes under the mitzvah of tshuva. Comes under the general mitzvah of tshuva. That's the essence of the yom. The essence of the yom comes under the general mitzvah of tshuva. If it wasn't for tshuva, there wouldn't be a yom kippurim. Okay? All right. In other words, you have to do tshuva on Yom Kippur because since that's the last moment, and the person's always doing averus, so he constantly has to be misvah. That's why he misvah so many times in the day. If it wasn't for tshuva, it wouldn't be Yom Kippurim. So really, if that being the case, so the essence of Yom Kippurim really is tshuva. I mean, that's the essence of Yom Kippurim, has to be tshuva. The essence of Yom Kippurim is tshuva. Mm-hmm. Because since Yom Kippurim was formed to serve the purpose of tshuva, so that's the essence of the day. That's the essence of the day. And then there's certain mitzvahs that the day itself is machayev. That the day itself is machayev. That's Tainus and Shvishim and Lacha. So what is Aseres Yemei Tshuva is a separate halacha. Aseres Yemei Tshuva really is not a build-up for Yom Kippurim. But there's two halachas. During Aseres Yemei Tshuva, Tshuva is miskabelas miyad. That has nothing to do with that. That's a separate thing. You see? And then Yom Kippurim is Ketz Slicha Mechila's Machayev and Tshuva. Because it's Ketz Slicha Mechila. So there's two Machayevim and Tshuva. One Machayev and Tshuva is the fact that the Tshuva is miskabelas. You see? That's Dir Shashem Bimatza. That's the pasuk Dir Shashem Bimatza. The fact that any tshuva, that if the tshuva is miskabelas, so then there's a separate loch of Dir Shashem Bimatza. You see? That's Aseres Yemei Tshuva. Aseres Yemei Tshuva is Dir Shashem Bimatza. That Yom Kippur, in that respect, Yom Kippur is one of the 10 days, just like today is one of the 10 days. There's no difference between Yom Kippur and today in that sense. Dir Shashem Bimatza is the same today as it is in Yom Kippur. You see? But then there's another aspect, another halacha of Ketz Slicha Mechila. That's only Yom Kippur. So Yom Kippur is both. Yom Kippur is Dir Shashem Bimatzo, and it's also Ketz Slicha Mechila, which is Machayev and Tshuva, because the Machayev of Tshuva is Kapara. Machayev and Tshuva is Kapara. So that's, you understand what I mean? It's two separate things. Two separate things. Aseres Yemei Tshuva and Yom Kippur, two separate things. You see, the Chiyuv Tshuva really is... really takes its form, is brought out on Yom Kippur. The chiyuv of tshuva, the general chiyuv of tshuva, comes to life, comes into existence on Yom Kippur. You see?
What?
Because of the fact that it's Ketz Slicha Mechila.
What?
So the chiyuv of tshuva emerges on Yom Kippur. Takes on its form on Yom Kippur. That's what happens. Actually, Yom Kippur really... You see, really, I'll tell you like this. See, Yom Kippur is a situation in which the Chiyuv Tshuva emerges. That's what Yom Kippur is. What is Yom Kippur? Yom Kippur really is a situation in which the Chiyuv Tshuva emerges. You see? But that's a part of the Kedushas HaYom. The Kedushas HaYom means, that's the definition of Yom Kippur. Really, Yom Kippur is a day in which the Chiyuv Tshuva emerges. That's right. That's right. The chi of tshuva is actualized, takes its form on Yom Kippur. It takes its ultimate form on Yom Kippur. Yeah. Right. We don't mean to say that there's no chi of tshuva all year round, but it takes on its ultimate form on Yom Kippur. So that's why the kedushas hayom of Yom Kippur is tied with tshuva. That's why the kedushas hayom of Yom Kippur is tied with tshuva. Okay. There's two parts to the Rambam. I'm going to put it down on the table. Okay. This, what we're saying now, is really dependent upon something that we one time said before. You see, because the question is, when you think of tshuva over here, you're not speaking about tshuva in terms of perfection, human perfection alone. You're not speaking about just, because if that's the case, what's the difference between Slicha Mechila and what's the whole business, you know? You're speaking, perfection a person can do any time of the year. You know what I mean? You see? What it means is like this, really. There's two types of... we mentioned there's two types of shuva. There's a Rambam Perek Aleph and a Rambam Perek Zion. The Rambam Perek Aleph is talking about the system of mitzvahs. The machayev in tshuva is that is that a person, when a person violates one of the mitzvahs in the system, so now he's he has to do something to correct the situation. The tshuva corrects the wrong, the halachic wrong. It's a halachic tshuva. I know we spoke about that. Mm-hmm. That's why that's really what it means over here. You see, Kate's Slicha Mechila is in terms of the halachic system. It's set up this way. The halacha is set up this way, that Yom Kippurim is the mechaper for halachic violations. So, but the perfection of the person is even more, is beyond that. That's Perek Zayin, the Rambam talks about that. Here it's tshuva within the framework of the Taryag mitzvahs. Did you hear me?
Yes.
Okay. Really, you have to listen to the other shiur. That's why the emphasis here is on kapara. That's why the emphasis here is on kapara. Because kapara means correcting a wrong that you did within the system. Part of perfection, of course, is operating with the halachic system. You see? But the halachic system of tshuva is one in which you can correct a violation. Now, perfection demands that a person operates within the with the halachic system. Achieves a state of kapara within the halachic system. Just want to mention, those who were here the last year, we discussed the problem of Yom Kippur, the Kiddush Yom of Yom Kippur. So I was thinking about after I left here, you know, what we were discussing, and to crystallize what we said, you know, it comes out like this, that really the question is tshuva really a part of the Kedushas of Yom of Yom Kippur? It sounds like a strange question, like how can you imagine Yom Kippur without tshuva? But actually, the way we explained it was that in Hilchos Shvi'is, our Sotah Rambam doesn't mention anything about tshuva. What does Rambam mention about tshuva? I mean, about Yom Kippur. What does he mention about Yom Kippur? He mentions about Yom Kippur in Hilchos Tshuva. So, it's interesting. So we said like this, that the kapara, Yom Kippurim really, the essence of Yom Kippurim is kapara. I mean, that's the pasuk says, Ki Yom Kippurim, Ki Yom Kippurim hu chapar lechem fnei Hashem lekechem, fnei Hashem tatoru. So the essence of Yom Kippur is the element of kapara. And kapara is mechayev the person in the mitzvah of tshuva. The fact that kapara is available is mechayev a person in the mitzvah of tshuva. But the mitzvah of tshuva itself, you see, the mitzvah of tshuva itself, one can question whether tshuva itself, the ma'aseh of tshuva itself, has to do with the ma'aseh that is part of Kedushas Hayom, or whether it's just the mitzvah of tshuva. And only kapara really is a part of Kedushas Hayom. If you could argue, you could say no. But you can't split the two, because tshuva and kapara are synonymous. But it's not necessarily so. There's a kapara that the For instance, according to Rebbe, Yom Kippurim is a mechaper. We'll discuss it soon, even without tshuva. So, according to Rebbe, Yom Kippurim ki bayayim hazeh yechaper aleichem v'nei Hashem lekechem. So, according to him, you definitely can't say that tshuva is part of Kedushas Hayom. You see? So, therefore, we wanted to say something that sounds, like I mentioned yesterday, sounds perhaps a little bit sacrilege, but I think that the way the Rambam has it formulated, that's the way it would seem, that Hilchas Tshuva... In Hilchos Tshuva, the Rambam mentions Yom Kippurim, but it doesn't mention Tshuva in Hilchos Yom Kippurim, Hilchos Shvi'is Sasa. The reason is because in Shvi'is Sasa only mentions the four mitzvahs. The reason is because the essence of Yom Kippurim is really kapara. And Tshuva, it's mechayev a person in the mitzvah of Tshuva. The mitzvah of Tshuva is a mitzvah that's noyeg all year round, but there's a separate mechayev because of the fact that kapara is imminent. You see? Okay, so that's what the... That's why the question was, why the Rambam doesn't mention tshuva in Hilchos Shvi'is Sasa? That was the question we asked last time. All the mitzvahs doesn't mention that one. The answer is, because tshuva really isn't the mitzvah sayyim. See? It's a mitzvah which is not indigenous specifically to Yom Kippurim. It's a general mitzvah. But Yom Kippurim activates the mitzvah. You see? Okay. doesn't make Tshuva on Yom Kippur any less. I mean, it doesn't make the Mechayev of Tshuva any less. I don't want anybody to misunderstand it. But we have to have a clear idea of how things are categorized. So then it comes like this, that the halacha is that a person should be a shav when Yom Kippur is chal, and all these halachas, and the Rambam mentions those halachas too, but the Rambam, that a person should be a person mechuyev to misvada when Yom Kippur, kaidim mincha, b'shas mincha, and then the whole business over there, 11 times. So the Rambam really, where's that Rambam found? Hilchos Tshuva. The Rambam is not found in Hilchos Yom Kippur. So it's an interesting thing. The reason why it's found in Hilchos Tshuva is because all these details are details in the mitzvah of Tshuva. You see? not in the Kedushas Hayom of Yom Kippur. Yom Kippur is restricted to Kapara. That's the Kedushas Hayom. It's an interesting formulation.
Another shiur in regards to Hashkafas, which relate to Yom Kippur, begins in the beginning of sign B.
I gave a shiur yesterday to my shiur on certain points, and it was brought to my attention that perhaps it would be advisable to mention these points to everybody. So therefore, I'm basically repeating the shiur with one addition. All right. Now, what we discussed yesterday was Yom Kippur is once a year. It's important that the day should have a meaning to us, and we should accomplish something on Yom Kippur. So I just wanted to mention, what are the things that stand in the way of really making Yom Kippur a successful day insofar as a person's perfection is concerned? You see? And I was saying, first of all, there's a misunderstanding of what Yom Kippur is. That's number one. Misunderstanding of what Yom Kippur is. Because really, we mentioned, this was mentioned before, really in Yom Kippur, really in tshuva, there's two types of tshuva. One type of tshuva is tshuva which has to do with the taryag, keeping taryag, you see. The other type of tshuva has to do with perfection. That's the Rambam Perek Aleph, has to do with taryag, and Rambam Perek Zion, Hilchos Tshuva, has to do with perfection, you see. And, that's why the Rambam mentions also, that it's even better what we said last time. Why the Rambam mentions in Hilchos Tshuva, he says, in Perek Aleph, Halacha Aleph, so he says, Gam, also the people who bring Kabbonis. He says, Amos Kapra Lohem Ad Shiyasu Tshuva. You see? Why is Amos, who cares about Amos Kapra Lohem? I mean, what do we care about Amos Kapra? Amos Kapra, not Amos Kapra. Question is Tshuva. Why does Amos Kapra Lohem? You should say, Chayavim B'Tshuva. So the answer is because the Rambam in Perek Aleph is discussing Tshuva insofar as Tayag is concerned. So the Mechayev in Tshuva is that we shouldn't violate Tayag. Now Tayag is set up in a certain specific way. And you need Tshuva in order, if a person violates Tayag, say he's not finished with the Tayag. The Torah says that he can undo the violation. So just like there's a Chiyuv initially to keep Tayag, there's a Chiyuv to undo a violation of Tayag if we can. You see? That's part of the mitzvah of Shmiras Tayag. You know what I mean? Okay. Now, it doesn't always involve necessarily tshuva. I'll give you an example. This, of course, everybody's very happy to hear. Halacha Beis, Perek Aleph, Halacha Beis, the Sar HaMishtaleach, you see? So the Rambam says, the Sar HaMishtaleach, Fishu Kapara Kol Yisrael, Kohen Gadol Misvad Olav Aloshen Kol Yisrael, fine. Then the Rambam says, Sar HaMishtaleach, Mechapara Kol Avera Shevetera, Kales V'Chamuris. Kales and Chamuris. What are Kales? Kales and Mitzvah Leis Asei. Chamuris are mitzvahs sheyesh bahem karas. Okay? Now, even karas, you see? It's machaper. Now the Rambam says, bein shav b'zodin, bein shav b'shgogah. Bein shaydle, bein shalei haydle. Akol mitzchaper b'sar mishtaleach. Rambam says, v'hu shas tshuva. Okay? So the sar mishtaleach is only machaper if you do tshuva. Makes sense so far, right? Then the Rambam says, avalim lo yas tshuva. Ain't asar machaper le el ala kalis. You didn't do tshuva, so asar mishtaleach is machaper on the kalis. You see? Funny thing. What are kalis? Kalis are lois to say. Person eats chazer. Person eats chazer. Bezodain. A person eats chazer b'mezid. Went into a hojo's and he rested like a pig. Walked out. It's Erev Yom Kippur. Yom Kippur comes along. They do the avodah in the base of Mikdash. They send out the Sar Mishtaleach. That's it. No more Chazer. It's gone. What? That's right. So you see, so it's an interesting thing, right? I mean, so you see that Yadis has a conception of Kapar without Tshuva. The Rambam says it openly. And I told you last time, according to Rebbe, that Rebbe holds even without Tshuva. Ki bayayim hazeh yechapar alechem, atar asmoch ned Hashem lekechem. Right? Okay. So what's the Rambam? So the mitzvah saseh, mitzvah leh saseh. So then the Rambam says in Halacha Gimel, b'zman hazeh she'ein beis hamikdash kayam, ve'ein lanu mizbach kapara, ein shom ala Tshuva. What does it mean, ain't Shem Alachuva? Achuva machaparasol kol averis. What does Ram mean, ain't Shem Alachuva? Who cares? I mean, Yechayev and Tshuva. What's the answer? What is Ram saying? Because the Rambam is explaining, like we said, the obligation to keep Tayag. The obligation to keep Tayag means that you have an obligation to undo a violation, just like you have an obligation not to violate to begin with. So when you have the Sar Mishtaleach, so your obligation, insofar as the removal of Chayt is concerned, is taken care of by the Sar Mishtaleach. But then the Rambam says, but b'zman hazeh, she'ein lanu mizbach kapara, right? Ein lanu beis hamikdash kayam. So therefore you're going to have to do tshuva on it. You see? Here the Rambam's not speaking of tshuva in terms of perfection. The Rambam's speaking of tshuva in terms of the halachic mechanism which undoes a violation of tayag. You see? Interesting thing. Undoes a violation of tayag. So, unfortunately, b'zman hazeh, we have to do tshuva. Because there's no other way. You see, the Rambam says, v'atzma she'emek kurum b'chap al-ashovim. She'emek v'yem hazeh v'chap al-echem. So, one time said, l'ashovim means, doesn't necessarily mean he has to do tshuva in a particular vera. If he's a shov, so then it's good enough. It's machaper. The day is machaper for a person who is a shov. The gavra is a shov, it's enough. Okay, it's a separate story. But the point is that you see, that what is the obligation over here? What's the machayev? The machayev is kapara. Is a chiyev for a person to make sure that the tayag is he keeps tayag. So halach of shmir is tayag. Halach gadiv kapara is the person ate chazer. And the Sar Mishtaleach sent, so it's as if he never ate chazer. Halachically, did he have any violation? No. Is he imperfect because of it? Yes. Until he does tshuva, he's in a state of imperfection. There's no question about it. But in terms of the technicality of tayag, it would be as if God didn't give that mitzvah. There are a lot of imperfections a person can have without, a lot of imperfection a person can have without violating tayag. So over here, it undoes the violation. You see, it undoes the violation, but the imperfection will remain. But insofar as this element, this aspect of perfection of shmiras tayag, that aspect of perfection he doesn't lack in. See, shmiras tayag is also an aspect of perfection. Perfection demands that a person obligates himself to tayag. So did he violate that aspect? No. But why did he eat the chazah? It's a different question. Why did he eat the chazah? Why did he do that? So certain imperfections in his soul, in his nature, certain corruption of the soul, which cannot be undone without tshuva. That definitely can't be undone. But the technicality, the shmiras, insofar as shmiras tayag is concerned, he isn't daiva. I know it. But. See, it has limited philosophical significance. You see? Yes. You see, there's a built-in clause in the system. That's what it means. It means the system has a built-in clause which can undo, which is there to undo a maisa vera. Why God saw fit to arrange a system with such a clause is a separate question altogether. But apparently, God with his divine wisdom concluded that this is the best system for man, that man should have a system in which there is a clause that undoes it. Yom Kippur comes along and it's gone. You see? That's God's wisdom dictate that this is the way it should be. See? So that's it. We can't question that.
Okay?
Strange religion we have, huh? later we'll get back to the explanation of how it works philosophically, what the concept is over here, philosophically. You understand? I mean, we said, of course, it's God and His divine wisdom. You can't question now why He thinks it's the best system. But I'd like to get back to a little bit more of how it works. All right? Not why it is that way, but what exactly we have. You see? All right. But that's the way the system works. That's the system. Okay. Now, the reason why I mention this is because a lot of times I feel that people on Yom Kippur can't do tshuva because they see a tremendous mountain in front of them. You know what I mean? Like, they feel it's all worthless. I mean, I can't change myself. I'm not going to change myself in one day. So I might as well forget about it. Who am I kidding? Who am I fooling? You know? Klap al chait 100 times, but it doesn't mean anything. I mean, just an external approach to the heart. But internally, nothing's moved. Nothing's changed, really. You see? But a person, the first thing, that's why I mention it, because I want you to realize that the first obligation is tayag. So the first idea of tshuva is our obligation to tayag, to remove certain violations. We have a commitment to tayag, which we accepted upon ourselves at Har Sinai, and that commitment we have, we must keep. So plain and simple, without getting involved in and before you get started on a difficult idea of perfection and changing oneself totally, you have to understand the basic idea of Yom Kippur. Atzmei shel Yom Kippur mechapel hashava. You see? The person should be a shav, just plain and simple, from certain actions he does which involve the violation of tayag, insofar as he can. Plain, practical thing. Not such a difficult thing. A person should look through his actions. Now, you can't expect a person to change totally, but insofar as he can, correct anything in tayag, any correction he could make, Yom Kippur's machayev that he does it. Whatever it is. The raisa, if he sleeps too late and doesn't get up for krishma, I mean, whatever it is, an asay, lo sasay, drabanan, anything that a person can't correct. See? I mentioned yesterday also that with regard to tshuva, what is really tshuva? So the Rambam, of course, has a very elaborate formula for tshuva, very difficult, performance, but I mentioned what the Gros says, that really, even if a person is shav belev, HaKadosh Baruch Hu accepts the tshuva. Of course, it's a chiyuv avidut. Doesn't say, can't take away the chiyuv avidut. But even a tshuva belev is a removal of a virus. Because the only guy who brings a raft from a Gemara, the Gemara says in Kedushin, that if a person is Mekadosh Nisha on the Tanai, that he's a tzadik gomer, even though he's a Rasha Aram, the Gemara says, it's suffering Mekadosh. Because why the Gemara says, Shema Hira Belibai? Maybe a split second in his mind, he changed his mind a split second. They see that even a split second, a guy can become converted from a Rasha Aram to Tzadik Gomer. So the Gemara brings a raft from there, that even a Hira Tshuva is enough. They should realize that that's true also. You know? Not that a person shouldn't be misvada, it's very important, but you have to understand that I think that a lot of times people don't gain anything from Yom Kippur because it seems like too big a mountain to overcome. You know what I mean? So I think it's helpful if you realize what is in reality. You know what I mean? This way, even here, believe. Tremendous thing. Okay. Yep. Okay. Now, the thing with the other aspect of tshuva is tshuva insofar as perfection is concerned. Of course, the more difficult tshuva. And definitely, that takes place in Yom Kippur also. We're not denying that. It's also a part of tshuva and Yom Kippur, pressure and mechaper. On other affairs that aren't really part of tayag, the Rambam Perek Zayin too. Now, the thing is, over there, with regard to that, there's another psychological phenomenon I think it's important to mention that shouldn't stand in your way on Yom Kippur. And that is that we have a concept of perfectionism, see, that we live with. That we either want to feel we're very good, or else sometimes we might want to feel we're bad, we're no good. It also has certain qualities. Makes a person feel certain freedoms, you know? All right, I'm no good, so I can do whatever I want. You know? So a person usually vacillates between these two feelings, these two emotions, good and bad. And the truth of the matter is that this is really not what Yadis holds by. Because Chazal say that a person should always see himself chetze zakei v'chetze chayev. Say, what does it mean? It means that there shouldn't be any feeling either way. This feeling of being good this religious feeling, the feeling of religiosity, is just as false as the opposite feeling. They're both just feelings. But a person is mechuyev to see himself objectively, without any of, should not require either one of these emotions. You see, and what prevents a person from doing tshuva many times is this feeling of this need for a feeling of perfectionism, a feeling of being very good. You see, he feels either I could swing over there and become a total tzaddik, you know, and have that feeling of religiosity, see, or else he feels he can't do it. But that's an absurdity. That shouldn't stand. That's an absurdity. A person must realize that those feelings are really childish feelings. It's true that they do exist, and the Chazal referred to them many times. Yetzer Tov is like the Gemara says, V'afta Shemakah b'chol avavcha b'shnei yitzrecha. Yetzer Tov, Yetzer Ra. Sometimes a person has to use either feeling, either inclination. There are these inclinations. You see, but they should be under control. Because people ask, how is it possible to serve God with the Yetzer Ra? No, the answer is very simple, because certain things give a certain feeling, like eating Yom Kippur. Eating Yom Kippur gives a feeling, it's a terrible thing. Yeah, but sometimes you have a chayla, and even a chayla that's not 100% sure it's mesukin. Mechuyev to eat Yom Kippur. You see? Mechuyev to eat Yom Kippur, and if you don't, the pasuk says, achas dimcha l'nafshir secha medresh. So that's something that you feel funny about it, but mechuyev to do it. Just like in Mechuyev to fast in Yom Kippur. A person should have the same relationship to that mitzvah as they do to the mitzvah of Tainus. There shouldn't be any difference, but in reality, you see, people do have different feelings towards different things. A person wouldn't feel as holy if he ate in Yom Kippur as if he fasted in Yom Kippur. The truth of the matter is, if he's keeping God's system, what's the difference? He's doing what he's supposed to do. Okay? But that's B'shnei Yitzrecha. B'shnei Yitzrecha means that you should utilize both inclinations, should be under the control of the mind. You see? That's the way a person really should serve God. So therefore, insofar as Yom Kippurim is concerned, you should not be overcome by that emotion of becoming a perfectionist. Because that emotion is a very harmful one. It's a false one. It's a harmful one. It leads people to do things that the Torah doesn't ask them to do, and to draw conclusions about themselves that are totally false. So once you do away with that, it shouldn't be that difficult to take it to assess your life and see what improvement a person can make in his life on Yom Kippur. Not expected to change totally in one Yom Kippur, but every Yom Kippur should be another step. Every Yom Kippur should be another step on the ladder. See? Raise a person to a higher level. That's really the function of Yom Kippur. Snad Hashem to Torah doesn't mean a guy becomes a tzaddik gomer in one Yom Kippur. It's impossible. It takes many Yom Kippurs, but each one should function, should serve as some benefit, some type of improvement, some niche in the ladder. See? So that's the concept. Those are the two things I really wanted to mention. Insofar as the perfection is concerned, I wanted to mention a particular aspect that I think that perhaps it would be helpful if I mention this, that you might be able to apply it to yourselves, you know, and use it to for your own perfection in doing tshuva on Yom Kippur. And that aspect is Bein Adam L'Chaveiro. Bein Adam L'Chaveiro. Now, Yahadus has a totally different idea of Bein Adam L'Chaveiro than the average person. To the average person, Bein Adam L'Chaveiro merely means you're a nice guy. Nice guy means he never gets upset to take his stuff. He's always very helpful. He's pleasant. I mean, somebody is congenial, is always happy, you know. A certain type of tzura you have in mind. But truth of the matter is that Bein Adam L'Chaveiro really, in Yadis, requires much more than that simple formulation. That simple formulation really belongs in the ideas of other religions, but not Yadis. Now, the thing is this, that you have to have some basic idea of the psychology of a person in order to be able to rise above that simple level of Bein Adam L'Chaveiro. See? You have to realize that a person in his life, usually all his likes and his dislikes, are based upon a program, more or less programmed scene from his early youth, you see. And he just, usually, most people just repeat what they lived through when they were very young. But they repeat it with regard to different objects. But it's basically a repetition. See? A child is very impressionable, and as he develops, he has certain feelings towards his father, towards his mother, towards his brother, sister. And these feelings that he has, you see, become embedded in his mind. And what happens is that when he gets older and he meets other people, he reacts towards them with those same feelings that he had at an early age towards those people that were important in his early youth in forming his mind, you see, his psyche. Now, he doesn't realize this, of course, because many of those feelings go underground, become unconscious, and he's not aware of what's going on. So he will always, of course, attribute his actions and reactions, and really more reactions than actions, to something in the present. But the truth of the matter is that those who have knowledge of psychology know that the slightest accident can be responsible for the greatest outburst of energy, psychic energy. And an accident, meaning something that has really nothing, very little to do with it. The way a person looks could be responsible for whether you like him or dislike him. Because your attachment is based upon certain images from the past, you see. And usually that's what goes into making friendships. Friendships really are made by the reactions that you have to certain people in the present to reflect the past. See? What happens is you just act out again the same feelings and the same emotions towards new people. For most people, that's what they do for 70 years, and then that's it. See? A yadus demands a little more than that. Yadus demands a little more than that. Even it goes so far, though, that even our concept of evil, which would seem to be such a strong idea, is not really based so much on how much we really care about evil. We really don't care that much. Find out. The person finds out that he doesn't really care. They're not really that concerned about evil. See? It's totally a psychological phenomenon. The average person, if you'd ask him what the essence of a Russia is, he wouldn't even know what it is. Why do you hate a Russia? You take a great Russia like Hitler, Yamach Shemo, why do you hate him? What is really evil about him? A person would be really lost, almost, well, he killed a lot of people. Is that really what makes him evil? Has he killed a lot of people? Not necessarily. You'll find people who are very religious, and their religions were responsible for killing a lot of people. They don't consider themselves evil, but they'll consider Hitler evil. You see? It becomes difficult for people to explain why they really have such a tremendous hatred towards the Russia. Truth of the matter is that the hatred towards the Russia is not really based on any philosophical concept. You see? It's based upon their own emotions. Few reasons why a person hates a Russia. A person hates a Russia, first of all, because the things many times, I mean, there's no question, not many times, all the time, the things that the Russia's doing, he himself has an inclination to do, which he suppresses, you see. And that, since he has that inclination, he suppresses it, so there's an element of envy. Why should he be doing it, not me? You see, strange as it sounds. Secondly, a person, since many of the emotions that we have, which are evil, we suppress, you see. So we have to break our identification with somebody who carries them out. If we don't break the identification, then we ourselves are in trouble, you see. And thirdly, we project onto the Russia a lot of our own desires, thereby ridding ourselves of our own guilt. In short, in other words, yes, the Russia does something, so it activates a certain conflict in us, because we see it. You see? Now, the conflicts that are aroused in us and ourselves, which bring out certain of our own desires, you see, have to be resolved, because it's dangerous for us to realize that we might want some of these things. So what we do is we project onto the Russia all of these things, and then we walk away, and then we feel good. You see? So the hatred of the Russia really, basically, is most of the time is an emotional thing. It's not a thought-out philosophical thing. The average person who hates a Russia, they never really sat down and worked out a system of what is good and what is evil. Never even thought about it. Completely doesn't even know what it means. Has no idea, really. He just reacts. The reactions are based purely on his emotions. Nothing else. He doesn't have any philosophical identity. If you really doubt this, ask your average person, anybody you want. Ask them if they know what evil is, if they know what good is. How would they define it? You'll find the definitions lack very much in terms of a real system of philosophy. But they're very convinced about what they think. The conviction comes from an inner emotional source. It doesn't come from any thought-out concepts, you see. Yadus, on the other hand, demands that there is no such simple formula. And all the other religions also basically work that way. They believe that good and evil can be felt by the person in their heart, and that's how they go. And that's the basic argument. They have to accept their religion because they feel it in their heart. This is a nonsensical thing, which means anything that person feels is correct. This Yadus does not accept. Yadus demands that we understand and have a system which works in terms of philosophy, not one which is just a projection of our own emotions, an expression of our own emotions. And that's why the sin on Yadus, the hatred on Yadus, is totally different than the emotional hatred that we experience. For instance, Sinas Amalek. The hatred, can anybody really have Sinas Amalek? I mean, basically, is an emotional thing. It's very difficult. Amalek, it's an abstract thing, it's an abstraction. Sinas Amalek really means to despise evil, not because of any emotional reasons, but because of a recognition that this system of Amalek is destroying God's purpose in the universe. It has to be removed. That's it. Not because of a personal animosity. See? There's nothing personal about it. I assure you that most people hate their neighbors more than they hate Amalek. Mm-hmm. It's very easy to do. So Amalek is an abstraction. That's what Yadus demands. Yadus demands that we should not operate on the level of the emotions. I'll give you another example. A person who, the Rambam says, and then basically that was Shaul's fate. What was Shaul's fate by Amalek? Because Shaul had Rachmonis on the king and on the Taf and the Tzayin and all the Chomol. Had Rachmonis. So what did that show? What was his fate? His fate was that he wasn't operating, he wasn't functioning with a rational system. He's working on the emotions, with the emotional system. Emotional system that doesn't work out. I mean, it's impossible. So that's why it was a chayte. That's why he had the malchus was removed from him. Now, similarly, there's an isser to hate any Yisrael. An isser to hate a Yisrael. No matter what his personality is like, no matter what he looks like, no matter how you like his sense of humor or whatever, doesn't matter. It's an isser deraisa to hate him. On the other hand, what makes friendships usually? Usually what makes friendships is usually a certain common emotional makeup, which means certain common infantile experiences that different people have, you know, in different degrees. You say either not different qualitatively, but quantitatively they're usually different. And the friendships come about by the fact that there's a certain commonality between these between the individuals. They live through certain experiences and they have certain makeups, similar. So that's usually what's responsible for the friendships, you see. But halachically, and hatreds also. But halachically, you see, that's not so. Because halacha is what the Torah says, Pasuk in the Torah says, that the Pasuk says that by Mesa Mediach, ki yisischa, what does it say? Achicha, let me see, gotta get a chamashir. So the pasuk is in Dvarim Yud Gimel Zion. Ki yisischa achicha venimecha avincha ovitcha o eishis chekecha o reacha asher kenafshecha vaseisa lemar neilcha venavdo lehim acher masher leidat tovasecha. Lo sova lo, lo sishma lo, lo sochos encho lo, lo sachmo lo sochase olo. Ki horog tagenu. So, what does the pasuk say? What does the pasuk give all those examples? Chicho benimecho, bincho, bitcho, eishes chikecho, reacho shekenafshecho, closest emotional ties. You see, bayadis demands, lo sachmo lo sochase olo. Can't have any rachmanis. You can't have any rachmanis. Can't operate. Can't operate. In terms of the emotions. Similarly, you have the opposite is also true. Even if there is no emotional bond, even if his emotions go against you completely, dislike the way he dresses, the way he acts, the way he does things, anything, you just dislike, find it distasteful. See? You have a love and a raisa. But there is a time when sinah is really appropriate. Like the Rambam mentions, a person who denies Yud Gimel Ikaram. So the Rambam says, it's mitzvah la Sinai, it's a mitzvah to hate him. What kind of hatred is that? He's a nice guy, he's a pal, a friend. I mean, you feel a certain emotional closeness tie, but there's a mitzvah la Sinai. Mitzvah la Sinai. So you see from Yadus one thing, that the mitzvah, Avon Sina, Yadus expects us to raise our level of Avon and Sina. To the abstract, where the Ava and Sina is determined by philosophical criteria, not by emotional. So Rameh mentions that on the contrary, that you see by Avelis, when a Russian dies. So the Avelis is supposed to have a party, Mishta, Simcha. Yeah, because the Rishayim are destroyed. So you see that's what Yadus demands, yeah. This kind of hatred is not the same kind of hatred as what is commonly called hatred. It's a different kind of hatred. See, it's a philosophical hatred. It's not a personal hatred. It's a different level. It's a different type of... No, you're not angry at the person, because anybody that's angry at a person is usually when a person's angry at somebody else, it's usually because of some type of psychological phenomenon like projection or something. See why he's angry at him. Some type of mechanism of the mind that causes this emotion of anger. A person would analyze it and sit down and analyze it to find out what it is. There are a lot of different possibilities. I'm just giving one example. But this type of sinner is a different kind of sinner. This is an intellectual sinner. Different kind of sinner. See? I've been followed before. I mentioned it's been followed Yevchol Tismach. So this is also an Oyev. Person, you hate the guy. You really hate the guy emotionally. So... Do you feel the natural thing is to feel happy? No, you're not allowed to do that. You ever love? You ever love an Arisa? Because you're falling into the traps of the emotions. See? You have to be able, the person has to be able to extricate himself from that type of life, that type of lifestyle, and to function according to reality. See? To remove himself from this infantile state. This is what Yadus demands. And that's why... And really, of course, the real concept is a subordination of his own personal emotions to the concept of the will of God, to Avas Hashem. See? And that's why V'hachal Arecha Kamecha is possible. Because one psychologist asked, he said, how is it possible V'hachal Arecha Kamecha is not feasible? You can't love another person like yourself. It's an impossibility. How is it possible? I mean, a person as old as anyone who knows psychology knows how much energy is tied up in a person's own self. And the closest you can get is a situation of love or children, yeah. But even that is not total. So how is it possible that Torah should make such a demand on a person? The answer is v'haftal arecha kamocha doesn't mean in an emotional sense. V'aftalo recha kamocha means a recognition of the fact that each one of us is just one unit involved in bringing about God's will, just like the other fellow is. I am, just like I am, he is, you see. So insofar as we recognize the reality of the situation, what we really are as individuals, vis-a-vis the ultimate reality of God, you see, then it's possible. V'aftalo recha kamocha. That's why Hillel says Zekhal Gadol Batera. And he said, no, I'm sorry, we keep saying Zekhal Gadol. Hillel said that everything else is Pirush, told the guy. Everything else is pirish. Rafa is the essence. Because if a person can reach that level, if a person can reach such a level of functioning, then he's reached the essence. That was Hillel's answer to the goy, a regalachas. So that type of aflarecha kamacha is possible. You see? The other type, the emotional type, is impossible. Psychologically, it's an impossible thing. You see? And that's why I want to mention, practically, I'm mentioning it insofar as the yeshiva is concerned. The fellows in the yeshiva. The fellows in the yeshiva are in a particular position where not only they have the opportunity to perfect themselves, but they have the opportunity to make a Kiddush Hashem. And that is by their living in harmony in the proper manner. You see? They one time asked the Rav, why is it that the Talmidim of Rabbi Akiva died? Because Seshalom Nogu covered Zebizah, Chazal say. Somebody asked the Rav a very good question. He said, but they weren't fools. Didn't they realize when they were dying that that's the reason that they were dying? I mean, had the Chazal know? I mean, they must have known also that that was a terrible chait. So why did they do tshuva? So why did they die? So the Rav said they couldn't do tshuva. Not they couldn't actually do tshuva, but tshuva wouldn't help because it involved Chil Hashem. And once it involves Chil Hashem, then tshuva is not machaber, like the Rambam says. So that's why they did do tshuva, but they died anyways. See? So that's what I want to mention to you. You see, the Chazal point out that the area of Kiddush Hashem is expressed to a great degree among Talmidei Chachamim, you see, and for this everybody can be considered Talmid Chacham, among Talmidei Chachamim, in the way they act, Bein Odom L'Chavero. That is a tremendous area of Kiddush Hashem. And that's why I want to mention it, because I think that it's an area that Nei Yeshiva, not only Nei Yeshiva, but in every Yeshiva, but I'm just mentioning it so far as we're concerned here, that it's an area which I think that the fellows in Yeshiva should work on. Because it's an area which really shows what level a person is operating on. It's an all-encompassing area. That's why Hillel chose that example. It's an all-encompassing area, because it's your interrelationships with other people. I mean, it's very, very, there's hardly too many things in a day that go on such a degree as that, such an extent as how we relate to other people. I mean, it's basically most of the day. And if a person can perfect himself in that area, he really has achieved a great deal. See? Doesn't necessarily mean that he has to give up his personal enjoyments and friendships. Doesn't mean that. Torah doesn't say that. Torah says, Ki sischa achicha benimecha binecha bitcha. Doesn't say give him up. Doesn't say he shouldn't have that emotion. You have the emotion, you have the enjoyment, but it must be under the recognition of the ultimate principles, you see, that dictate actually what are they that guide us and how we should really perform and act ben Adam Lachavero. It's a tremendous area of perfection where a person can really raise himself to a very, very high level. Of course it can't be done overnight, it has to be done step by step, but it's something that a person should work on. I'd say that you really could tell an individual what level he's on and how he operates ben Adam Lachavero. You see? And therefore, I mean, you have the opportunity to work on it. It's a very important thing, Erev Yom Kippur, certainly, but even after Yom Kippur, I mean, it's something that a person should keep on trying to work on and to weed out and to notice in himself the different emotional factors and how great they are in guiding his actions and his performances when they really shouldn't be doing that, when he should be guided by another thought. I mean, who would you rather, that's what the Pasuk says. Pasuk says in Mitzvah, if you see Kisira Chamor Seinach or Revetz Tachas Masoi, see, it's a natural thing. Person, who's going to run to? His chaver or his sine? The Torah says, run to the sine. Perfect yourself. Overcome the emotion. Your friend, but that's your friend. Your friend over there, you mean you feel camaraderie? Camaraderie is very nice, but you have to realize that camaraderie has no place in reality. It's just a personal emotion. But in reality, when it comes to helping another individual, there's no such thing as your friend comes first. Because that's just an emotion. What's different than the other guy? He's not your friend. He's any less Yisrael than your friend. I mean, the chiyuv is the chiyuv to help is equal. So on the contrary, so you have to protect yourself by helping the sine. See? But you see from Yadis, if you look carefully at the mitzvah, the way it's formulated, that this idea is an idea that the terrorist tries to get across. A tremendous area of perfection. It raises a person to a different level of operation. I mentioned, especially here in the yeshiva, I mean, that we should work on that area. We should really work on that area and raise ourselves to a higher level. A person cannot really be considered. I don't care what he thinks he knows in terms of philosophy. If it's not applied, so I mean, what perfection is there? That's what the Gemara says. What the Gemara means. The Gemara says that the person who kol shechachmasai meruba menaisav, say, means he has isolated knowledge, but he doesn't apply it. Doesn't mean meisa. Doesn't mean a limud meisa. Ezegot a limud meisa. What does the Gemara mean? What does the Gemara mean? Limud meisa. I mean, we know everything. The most important thing is knowledge. Now, limud means learning the ideas in abstract. Maisa means applying them. You see? Applying them. So Gemara says, go to limud shnei mevel de maisa, because from the abstract, you could draw the bridge. But if there's no perfection, just isolated facts, then the individual remains imperfect. I mean, it has no value. So, that's why I mentioned this. This is an area I think that a person should really work on very strongly. Because it's a constant. It's something that needs a constant working on, because it's always operating. It's always operating, always deceiving. And a person, the key to it is one thing, though. The person must really be honest with themselves. Whenever they feel a strong emotion, either way, positive or negative, they usually will attach a very good external reason for it. But you should be very suspect of that reason. And if you sit back and really associate to yourself what comes to your mind, you'll find that very often these reasons aren't the conscious ones that you think that they that are guiding you. So there are other forces that are really in control. Yes.
Why did you say that?
Because the thing, and I meant this joke basically, but actually, no. What I really should have said was like this: that Talmud Chacham, in this sense, doesn't really mean. There's two kinds of Talmud Chacham. One kind of Talmud Chacham is a person who's reached a certain level of Torah. That we have very few. Today you can count them on the fingers of one hand, perhaps. It means a person that is Shesholim, and I say B'chol Makom. A person could ask him in any area of Shas, Torah, and he can answer you. See? Yeah. That's the Talmud Chacham. Answer you properly. With depth. So, that's the Talmud Chacham. We don't have too many of those. But that Talmud Chacham is an objective level. See? But there's a relative Talmud Chacham. Relative Talmud Chacham means relative to the generation. The Talmidim of Rabbi Akiva weren't punished because they reached a certain objective degree. That's not what produced the Chilul Hashem. The Chilul Hashem was because in their generation they were the ones who were studying Torah. So in that sense, in our generation, fellows who are studying Torah today in Yeshiva are on the level of Talmid Chacham. Saying they represent Torah. They're the Talmud Chacham. Person can't say, I'm not a Talmud Chacham. I got to this. See? As long as he's learning Torah, and people know he's associated with Torah, he's going to yeshiva, he's learning, then he's a great Talmud Chacham. Because when people want to find fault with Yadis, they're not going to say that the person, never mind, the person is not such a big London. They won't say that. Then they'll make him into the biggest London. I want to make it clear, a person should realize that they cannot destroy any parts of their psychological makeup. And parts of the psychological makeup are there, and we have to live with them and understand them and use them. That's why Chazal had a very healthy attitude. Chazal helped. It's a person who notices that he has sadistic tendencies. So what should he do? So Chazal says he should become a shechet. He should have an outlet. Because Chazal never considered that any specific tendency or instinctual force is inherently evil. That's not Yahadus. There are other religions. Christianity maintains such ideas. Torah does not maintain that. Any instinctual force that we have was given to us by God, and it can't be considered bad. It can't be considered bad, and the fact that it's not good either. I mean, it's neutral. It's only something which can be used, it's material which can be used by an individual for the good or for the bad. But the instinctual force per se is not considered bad. We do not recognize such a thing. Like I mentioned yesterday also, that you see that the sexual instincts, and they were singled out by Christianity as being bad. And Yadis, no such thing. See, by Moshe Rabbeinu, that Aaron and Miriam spoke against Moshe Rabbeinu because he was Perish Mina Isha, 120 years old, and in Novi Hashem, the highest degree, so they spoke against him. What right does he have to do this? No right to do it. On the contrary, he's a human being, as great as he is. So God says, no, you're making a mistake in this case. But generally speaking, there is no such thing. So he is taking an instinct and saying that the instinct per se is evil. There are restrictions. The only thing Yadus demands is that all the instincts should be under control. There are sexual restrictions, and then there are restrictions of food, so the appetite. Those are both, and there's no difference between either one. I mean, you'll tell me that most of the restrictions with regard to intercourse, many of them are chayav karas, and achila also you have certain restrictions of chayav karas, but Yom Kippurim is a chayav karas. You see that Torah doesn't single out any instinct as being inherently evil. That's not the concept of Yadus. So similarly, Chazal say, if a person has a sadistic instinct, he shouldn't deny it. He shouldn't deny its existence, and he shouldn't feel bad about it, because he's not responsible for it, but it's part of his makeup. But he should recognize it and utilize it for the good. And Chazal say that one of the greatest people, the one who was Mashiach Hashem, had a strong sadistic instinct. That was David HaMelech. So the Chazal say. And David HaMelech used to be Yetzel Melchemes Rashus, to conquer land for Eretz Yisrael, because of the fact that he had to satisfy the instinct. You see, it was a luchic way, mutter way of doing it, had the way of doing it. But he was accomplishing something. Wasn't mechuyev to do it. It was definitely a mitzvah. Wasn't mechuyev to do it, to destroy the pagans. But he did it because he realized that he had to give vent to a certain emotion. But it was a mitzvah. It was under control. It never was the emotion in control of him. It was always under control. That's the way Yadus looks at it. It's a totally different system than the other religions. Because other religions are just based upon these... Other religions just are an outgrowth of the emotions. That's what the religion is. The whole religion is just an outgrowth of the emotions. So Yadus is a philosophical system to bring the emotions in their proper place. So you place them in their proper perspective. That's the purpose of Yadus. Yeah, well, that's a... Can I look a cover? So you have to somebody point it out.
So we have to